This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Text for consideration today is recorded for us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. We hear these words from verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. God's word is truth. Amen. In the old days, the teacher was on the platform, and he spoke, and you took notes, and you did the homework, you took the test. Learning was something between you and the teacher alone, and how everybody else was doing had absolutely no effect on you whatsoever. Group work? That was reserved for Phi Ed when you played basketball. How things have changed. Now the desk no longer faces forward. The teacher's desk is stuck in a corner. Desks are interlocked with one another in a circle for the students. And you don't even look at the teacher. You look at your team, your 4 to 5 teammates. And you have group projects to accomplish. And you delegate. And you go with each teammate's strength. And you are only as good as your team. For teamwork, some teams fail and others succeed. Watch 20 hours of coverage of two great teams, the Rams and the Patriots. I mean, they're in the Super Bowl for a reason. But add up how often you hear things like this. It's all about how the individuals work together and who is a team player and who isn't and how it will affect the game. In your Christian life, it isn't only between you and God. It isn't only between the pulpit and the person in the pew. It is teamwork. And we are church members, like members of a human body. And there's a partnership in the gospel here, all of us together. Last week, we spoke about the variety of spiritual gifts God put in you. And now it is for you to recognize where God has placed you in the body of Christ, to develop those spiritual God-given gifts to serve the body of Christ joyfully and purposefully. And there is a spiritual survey, a gift survey in the back of church, same as last week. You can find a whole bunch of them online for those listening online. Please fill it out and gauge where you land. You know, or maybe it's just simply this. Ask somebody about it that who knows you well. Where to start? It all starts with your worth. Scripture speaks, for just as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And we're all made to drink of the one spirit. Here speaking about that living water that dwells within us. Paul doesn't mess with the little differences. He goes for the big ones. In early Christianity, some Jews thought that they were important and everybody else was just a fifth wheel to this gospel. What about the slaves? Do you think people looked at slaves differently? Considered them lower in terms of worth than those who were free? The temptation was certainly there. We too have this temptation of placing a person's worth on what one does and what one looks like and on various spiritual gifts. Not only pressing this template of worth on ourselves, but on others too. And it leads to the sin of pride as you think of how important you are. And it leads to the sin of worry as you compete against your own teammates for worth. It leads you to degrade others. Are you caught up in that rut? Forget yourself. Maybe you grew up with your dad telling you that you aren't worth much. Maybe your teacher had a favorite and it wasn't you. Maybe your Facebook feed or whatever social media you are addicted to, it isn't as impressive as your high school friend's highlight reel. Maybe somebody else has what you think are better spiritual gifts than you. And you know, it's all a part of the bigger problem. God didn't raise you up to be Kim Kardashian. You know, stop trying to find worth on the shifting sands of people's perceptions, even your own. Find forgiveness in the Lord and repent of finding your worth in the perceptions of people and see the damage that it does. I'm here today to tell you that you are worth far more than you ever imagined. Your worth isn't found in you. It is found in Christ who dwells in you by faith. And when you were baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you took on a new identity in Christ, and your worth comes from it. True God came down to gain righteousness by living a holy life with a servant's heart as one of us, shed his blood, suffered and died to pay for all sin, to give you your worth. When God sees you, he sees you clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And see yourself as God sees you. And count your worth as God does. And the worth of a house is determined by the one who buys it. Nobody else. And God bought you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, not purchased with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood. And God determines your worth. And he has determined that you are worth his one and only Son, that those who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And we are all equal in worth. And we are different in function or ministry. How many of you woke up this morning thinking, I wonder if my liver is working today? Not many. How many of you looked in the mirror this morning to fix your hair? A fair number, I assume. You know, some of us need more time than others. That's not me. You know, if you have a bad hair day, you will live. If your liver shuts down, you die. Your body has lots of different parts, and they all do different things. And that is good. God designed your body to be interdependent upon each part. And at times, the body parts that don't get much press time are necessary for life. Same in the body of Christ. Whether you are a mom patiently teaching your kid about sin and their Savior, a husband showing self-sacrificing love and concern for his wife, or a pastor preaching over to 100. All are needed and necessary. Time for warm thoughts. I think we need those these days. It's a hot summer Sunday afternoon. You hear the ice cream truck in the distance. You get your tennis shoes on and you start to jog to catch it. It took a different turn than what you thought. And you continue to jog and start to run. It's ice cream, people. But the noise gets further and further away. Your lungs feel tight. Your legs feel strained. Your heart is thumping at a high beat. You need some exercise and endurance. And the fact that you're running after ice cream does not help the situation at all either. And please don't tell me I'm the only one that this has happened to. But you know, we need some spiritual exercise for the Great Commission. As a body of Christ, to do what we are called to do. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. We do that by being sure we are disciples of Jesus. That means being in the Word of Scripture, opening up that Bible and reading it. It means being in worship. It means being in Bible classes or Sunday school or small group or being on a committee, because all of our committees are tied to growing in the Word, gathering for family devotions. And we learn and teach. We stretch. And we go the distance. We are the body of Christ, and each one of us is a part of it. And that is teamwork, designed and built by God. Equality in worth, different in function, and out of many, we are one in Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God dwell and abide with you all.
Amen.